Welcome to Sports Bites. Welcome to Sports Bites with your host, Chris Joseph. Chris Joseph, are you a sports fanatic who loves the thrill of the game and the delicious food that accompanies it?
And then they had chicken fingers, exotic chicken fingers.
Join us as we dive into the world of sports and the delectable bites that make the experience even better. Whether you're in the stadium, tailgating, or watching from the comfort of your home, get ready to satisfy your sports cravings with Chris Joseph on Sports Bites. On Sports Bites. Let's dig in.
It is time to dig in. Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday. What's up, brother? Got to do the Tuesday thing for Sketch. What's up, everybody? I hope you're doing great out there on this Tuesday night. Finally back. I took some time off. Hadn't done a show in a couple weeks. Was traveling, doing some other things, trying to rework the schedule so I could find out what would be best to get out and provide material for you guys. And a lot of stuff we're going to get into today. I think we got a good show coming up. Now, I will say, one of the segments I'm going to talk about like a new venture that I'm getting into. You know, you see the logo down there, the College Football Dogs. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to go over some NBA stuff. All right, I'm going to talk some NBA, playoffs. I'm going to bring up the WNBA because you had the draft and what's going on. The Jets uniforms were released. The new legacy uniforms for the Jets. I mean, they kind of look like the old Mark Gastineau, you know, the gangrene Jets. But we're going to talk about the Jets uniforms, which leads me to my Give Them a Sixer six picks, all right? And today, I'm doing the six top NFL home uniforms, in my opinion. Now, I'm a Washington Commanders fan. Do they make the list? Do they not make the list? We'll see. But a lot of stuff. And I'm going to break down my trip to Savannah. I was able to go down to Savannah with my wife. Had a great time. You know, Sports Bites. We're all about the food. We're all about sports. We got to incorporate a little bit of that. So, again, buckle up. I hope you have some good dinner. I just made a nice little taco bowl for me and my wife. Fantastic. I'll tell you, if you don't make your own salsa, the Newman's Own pineapple salsa, so good. But what I want to talk about right here, pause up, baby. I want to say thank you. For those who know me, I did about 10 years worth of radio out in Oklahoma, was replaced, and you know that's what kind of led me to move to Alabama and thought I was kind of out of the industry at that point because it's just hard to break into. My wife was really instrumental in me coming along and doing a podcast. And I thought, you know, I had some people in Oklahoma that liked what I did when I was on the radio. What the heck? Let's give it a try. And then I was kind of seeing some stuff pop up on social media from this group, the College Football Dogs. And I started to like their content. You know, come to find out, I meet one of the guys there, Tim Bailey, actually heard me on the radio. He's an Oklahoma fan. And, you know, we got to talking. Next thing you know, I'm doing a podcast now. I'm part of the College Football Dogs network, the media network, which is great. And now they put the press release out today so I can let everybody know. I told my, you know, my wife and stuff. But I am proud to announce that I am going to be one of the lead national columnists for the College Football Dogs. I'm going to be covering breaking college football news. And I hope everybody enjoys, you know, what I have to offer. I used to write for the 247 Network, so it's going to be a lot of fun to get back into writing. You know, I'm get a chance to go to. I am centrally located for the SEC, so I think when I was talking with some of the higher ups about, you know, maybe possibly going, I'm again Birmingham. I'm in a pristine location to get around everywhere in the SEC. You know, like I said, I'm 40 minutes from Tuscaloosa, 80 minutes away from Auburn. An hour and a half away from Stark, Vegas. I mean, like, there's a bunch of places that I can get to in a very quick fashion. So anything breaking college football news, I'm going to be writing stories about it, giving you some heads up on food and all that as well, as we always do here on there. But pay attention. When you see this hashtag, that hashtag pause up, it's coming. The, you know, Hunter and Colin, the two guys who are the owners, I want to say thank you for believing in me, giving me an opportunity to continue to live out my dream, to follow my passion, and that is talking about sports and talking about food. And I get to do it now on a bigger stage, and I hope you guys appreciate what I can bring, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, on my social medias, Twitter, on TikTok stuff, I do a daily poll on TikTok. I try to respond as best I can and get in contact with people. I don't want to be just like. I want to respond and get, interactive, because when I was on the radio, I had a caller-driven show. So I love that. So I want to get people involved. So hop aboard. Let's follow. You're going to see some articles coming out. If you're following me on social media, you're going to see, a lot of shares, just get up there. These are some great guys. We got guys that work with ESPN, Newsweek, all over. We have some great writers. We have some great podcasts, for whatever your niche is. If you're listening and you're a Big Ten fan, we got the Big Ten backers. Go check them out. They do a great job. The Golden Boot. A lot of SEC talk, college baseball. It's a lot of, if you're a Cleveland Brown fan, we've got the Dog Pound discussions. I mean, there's a lot. There's something for everybody here at the College Football Dogs, at the, this network that's just growing. And they're doing things the right way. We're getting credentialed. I'm credentialed now to go to the UFL games. We'll talk a little bit about that. It was great to be back up in a press box, kind of watching a game up there. And before I get into the topics of the day, I want to say kudos to Protective Stadium, where UAB plays. It's the first chance that I had to go to the stadium. I had never been, and to walk around in the inner bowels of it. I always like to do. I remember Jerry World when Oklahoma and BYU played. I was able to kind of walk around, get the feel of Jerry's World, right? So walking around Protective Stadium, very family friendly. There's concourses, remind me of TCU's home stadium. But everything's new, of course, but a beautiful stadium. I walk around, look at the suites, go on the suite floor, beautiful suites. Press box, really nice, how they have everything set up. It was great, and the UFL, it's football. It's football. There's spring football going on, but these guys are going after it. And I'll say this, the Birmingham Stallions team here in Birmingham, man, they are 3-0, back-to-back USFL champions, and don't look like they're going to stop. I was surprised Matt Corral's was the quarterback. You also have Adrian Martinez. Yes, that Adrian Martinez. And I probably saw the best football game that Adrian Martinez played as a football player in his life on Saturday night as they beat the Memphis Showboats. But again, the UFL is a lot of fun. Pay attention. The Dogs are coming. So pause up, everybody. Again, to Hunter, to Colin, thank you. To Tim for kind of turning me on to it. Thank you. George, Max, everybody involved. To Troy and TJ, the guys that are going to be editors and stuff. I thank you. I appreciate the belief in me, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm still going to continue to do the podcast. I think Tuesday nights are going to be the next night because I like doing the live and want to get interactive with people. So, but keep abreast. We're going to get into it. And, it brings me to my first topic of the day. My first topic of the day, Blake Griffin retires. Now, I had the privilege of seeing Blake at every level of his career. I was an official in Oklahoma, and I got to do one of Blake's games when him and his brother Taylor were playing together at Oklahoma Christian. I got to see these guys play. Covering the University of Oklahoma, I saw him up close and personal play. And then covering the Thunder, got to see him come through when he was with the Clippers, the Pistons, what have. But here's the question. Is Blake Griffin a Hall of Famer? I want you guys to jump in the chat and let me know what you think. All right. 765 games in the NBA, majority of them with Detroit and the Clippers. He kind of did the Shaq and bounced around the last couple years. But he averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists a game for 765 games. It's not a bad average. 6-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA. Now, as I started to break down and go through and peruse the NBA, Hall of Fame, a little more lenient than some of the Hall of Fames, but again, only 5% of the people that ever played in the NBA are in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, what's the criteria? So I was trying to find somebody close, and people that are older are going to know who I'm talking about. Former Kansas State guard, played for the Golden State Warriors, the Rifleman, Mitch Richmond. Mitch Richmond was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2014. He was a six-time All-Star, only a two-time All-NBA. Now, he did average 21 points a game, but he averaged less rebounds and less assists. Now, again, Blake wasn't a guard. Mitch was a guard, and Blake still averaged more assists. If you look at that kind of comparison, they both won Rookie of the Year. Blake won Rookie of the Year his rookie season. So did Mitch Richmond. Also, if you look at the slam dunk competition, what he did, jumping over the key, everything that Blake did. And basing on what I see with Mitch Richmond, and that Mitch Richmond is in the Hall of Fame, I'd have to say going on a yes, okay? Now, again, I don't want the Hall of Fames in the, Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, to start being, we're just letting people in because they were popular. I don't want it to be a popularity contest. And then also, I don't like, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer or not? There's only been one unanimous Hall of Famer in the NBA. Think about that. Only one. One. Can you tell me who that is? I'll wait. D. Wade. Only unanimous Hall of Famer. That's crazy to believe, okay? Just what I found out today. But question, is Blake Griffin a Hall of Famer? I say yes. I say Blake's in the Hall of Fame. Again, basing on what I saw from Mitch Richmond and what he has to offer there. So again, Blake, I loved watching him play. He got beat up a lot in high school. Again, he a man amongst boys in high school. I mean, absolutely just, that wasn't even fair to watch what Blake was doing in high school with some of those guys. You got a, a 6-foot post trying to guard up against Blake Griffin, who looked like a grown ass man early on in his high school career. But Blake Griffin, Hall of Famer, yes or no? You can vote on my TikTok poll. I have that out there as well. Again, you can follow that on TikTok at SportsBitesPod. Now, here's the next one. The Thunder, the Young Thunder, number one team in the West. They secure a number one seed in the Western Conference playoffs. Now, I want to play this, and I'll preface this by saying I usually like Shannon Sharp. I like his podcast that he does. We all saw when Cat Williams kind of spilled the tea on everybody. But Unk is usually pretty good. I mean, the battles, I commend him for his patience with Skip Bayless. But Unk has always been pretty good. Until this, here's a clip from Shannon and his guest on First Take.
You're right there. No way that happened.
But hold on. Do you actually think they're the number two seed. Do you actually think that the OKC Thunder is going to make it all the way to the Western Conference? Do you think they fear the OKC Thunder having home court? Really? This might be the weakest number one seed in the NBA.
The disrespectful
that's very disrespectful,
dude.
Shannon. The weakest number one seed. Oklahoma City,
yes.
Led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
yes.
The MVP.
Who's 22 well behind in there. Smell like Similac.
Okay, you can bite the line all you want to, yeah. But this brother averaged 30.
This is the weakest number one seed that we've seen.
You're
going to
eat these words, man.
Time.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to, look, I'll give you a chance to take it back. This is a good team. Is it the 2017 Warriors? No, it's not. But that's a good team. This is the most competitive the Western Conference has been in 15, 20 years. The 10th seed Warriors are a great team. I'm telling you, they are a really good team.
How great are you if you're the 10th seed?
And the Thunder, that's what I'm saying. Look how good these teams are. The Warriors went 27-12 in the second half of the season. They're 10th. What does it say to you that the Thunder won that conference? They didn't just fall into that. I agree that they're young and they're inexperienced and they don't have great size. But I'm going to tell you, man, be careful because you're going to regret those words. They're a good team, man.
They've had a great season.
I can't get on board. And, I'll say this going back to Oklahoma City. When being in Oklahoma and growing up, it wasn't, big basketball, of course. You had like Big Country, Bryant Reeves up at Oklahoma State, with the Eddie Sutton teams, Leonard Hamilton, who Leonard Hamilton still looks like he's 40 years old. But the Oklahoma City area got the Hornets after Katrina. And I thought it was just kind of like the kitschy thing to do. Hey, let's go to an NBA game. They're not going to be around long. So when the Hornets left, there started to be the rumors about Seattle and possibly getting a basketball team in Oklahoma, which I never thought was possible. You know, growing up in Oklahoma, all we ever heard was we were going to be an NHL town. The Central Hockey League had the Oklahoma City Blazers, wildly popular, but we always heard NHL team, not an NBA team. Now, Oklahoma is kind of, it was kind of like Birmingham. No pro, well, I mean, now Birmingham has its dying, so people support it pretty well. But there was no home team. It's college football driven. So I didn't know how the Thunder were going to be received. I didn't know how the Thunder was going to, you know, connect with the city. But they did. They absolutely did. And for Shannon Sharp to say, to not be intimidated to go to Oklahoma City at home court. Look, I'm going to tell you, Loud City can get loud. That's why it's called Loud City. Back in 2010, 2011, 2012, you know, the 2012 NBA Finals when the Thunder played the Heat. Like that playoff run right there, that was one of the coolest experiences I've ever got to have in covering sports. I mean, it's there. It's the NBA championship was being played, and the Thunder fans love it. And I tell the story all the time. I think back to the very first playoff game that the Thunder played, right? Playing the Lakers in Oklahoma City. I think they lost the first two games, but game three came back to Oklahoma City. And that's Kobe. That's Powell, Bynum. Like, it's the Lakers, man. And the Thunder win that game. And even after the press conferences, going outside, it was like championship banners had, people were hanging off statues, BLH, and like it was crazy. But the Thunder, the number one seed, I'm going to show the playoff bracket in a minute. Best record, they tied with the Nuggets, but they get the tiebreaker over the Nuggets. But my big question is, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is he the MVP? He tied a record with the likes of Jordan, Harden, Kobe, with over 50 30-point games in a season. I mean, and you took the Thunder, whose average age is 23.9. And I mentioned before, the North Carolina Tar Heels, they were at 24 years old. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that this team right here is younger than some of the teams that were playing in the NBA. I mean, the NCAA tournament. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, and I, look, I'm one of those, I'll admit when I'm wrong. I will admit when I'm wrong. I didn't think Chet Holmgren was going to do anything in the, because of his build. Now, granted, Kevin Durant was very, you know, was thin. People mocked his, you know, bench press. And he's like, yo, a basketball doesn't weigh 225 pounds. He didn't care. But Chet Holmgren's played well. Then if they could bring Lindy Waters in, you see him pitcher there, number 12. He was a teammate of Trae Young at Norman North High School. He's leading Oklahoma City Blue to the G League Championship, playing extremely well. Lou Dort, guys like that. But the Thunder, man, they're the number one seed. Now, Boston had the best record in the league. Best record, hands down, right? If you look right here, Boston 64-18. Best record. So they're sitting there waiting. There's the Thunder, the number one seed. And you heard Brian Windhorst talking, 46-36. That's the Warriors. That's a good team. The Warriors are a good basketball team. The Pelicans have played well. You look at the Mavericks. He said, you know, the Mavericks aren't. I don't. Yes, they're young. They don't have the playoff experience. I get what he's saying. But I like the matchups. I like the matchups. I mean, you get the Kings or the Warriors first. Now, Oklahoma City fans will love any time to get a shot at the Warriors after what happened. Of course, you know, up 3-1, you lose that series. Kevin Durant bounces, goes to the Golden State Warriors. Oklahoma City fans really hate the Warriors. Just going to say that. But over in the Eastern Conference, I mean, the Magic are there, the Cavs, the Hawks. So Trey and his guys get, you know, the Bulls in the winner take all. The play-in games, man. It's the playoff time. And I love NBA playoffs. It's a lot of fun. Let's see, Vandy Chris, for me to vote SGA for MVP. I have to see him scarf down a triple donut cheeseburger. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you what. I think there was a team in Minnesota, or in Detroit, a minor league team, that they did burgers on Krispy Kreme donuts. And I'm going to let you know I'm here for it. The sweet with the savory, I'm here for it. Okay? I am here for it. Now, past the NBA, I'm going to love the playoffs. Everything's going to be fun. I can't wait to watch. We just had the WNBA draft last night, right? But here's my question. Why are the WNBA veterans so salty right now? I mean, it's crazy to think that you're part of a league. Now, the league value is $1 billion. Jackie Young, the guard for the Aces, is the highest paid athlete in the WNBA, making about $252,000 a year. All right? Now, college basketball, women's college basketball, had a boom the last couple years with the likes of Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, you got Cardoso, Cameron Brink, Haley Van Lith. Great players all over, to where we all heard the numbers. We saw the numbers of the Final Four. We saw the numbers of the tournament. You know, they're already talking about the Indiana Fever. Caitlin Clark was the number one player drafted in the WNBA. We're already talking about having to expand. And my thing is, and this is not to bash women's sports. I love women's sports. Again, back in Oklahoma, getting ready to cover Sherry Cole and the Parrish twins at Oklahoma, watching Patty Gasso and what she's done for the softball game, KJ Kindler, gymnastics. I covered women's sports for 10 years. So I'm not one of these. I'm not here to bet. My thing is people like Diana Taurasi. I don't get why she's so bitter. Oh, reality's come. Okay, cool. You know, you can say what you want. The game is progressing. The game is different. That's why, when you talk about the NBA, it's hard for me to get into conversations with who's better, LeBron, Jordan, different eras, different basketball, right? But Diana Taurasi is running her mouth. And I don't get it, because think back to the Tiger Woods effect in the PGA. What were those guys making in the PGA before Tiger got there, right? Tiger gets there and it's a boom. It's a boom. Next thing you know, there's $1 million purse. I mean, it's going crazy. The WNBA needs a whole new marketing team. They've not been marketed. Vandegrift, I agree. Because here's my thing. If the league is valued at $1 billion, how are you paying some of these people what they're paying? I mean, think about this. Caitlin Clark, number one draft pick last night. We all know what Caitlin's done. Everybody, you know. Now, I'll say this, and I might catch some heat for this. People are trying to say she's the best women's college basketball player of all time. I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a young lady by the name of Shamika Holtzclaw. Okay? I think Shamika Holtzclaw is the best women's college basketball player I've ever seen. Period. But what Caitlin Clark did is she brought eyeballs to the game. Think about that preseason game they played at Kinnick Stadium. I mean, it was crazy. Randy Chris comments, she feels slighted that these rookies have made more NIL, yes, than she's been paid to play the game professionally. Look, right. He says Candace Parker. Candace was great. Candace was great. But Shamika Holtzclaw changed the game, okay? Candace is great. Now, she married Oklahoma kid, Sheldon Williams. He was a Midwest City high school guy, went to Duke, Big Sheldon. But, and I agree, and I think that's it. I think, Diana Taurasi and some of these NBA, WNBA veterans are seeing, Angel Reese with endorsements throughout the season with Target, whoever it was. They're making a lot. Just think, Caitlin Clark is going to make less damn money now in the WNBA than she did in college. Her deal has already been released. Her contract is a 4-year contract. She's going to make $76,000 this year. She's going to make $78,000 in 2025. She's going to make the fourth year option, or the 2026, she's going to make $85,800. And then in 2027, $97,582. Here's what's crazy. Rudy Gobert got fined $100,000 in the NBA for doing this to a referee. Called unprofessional hand gestures. But what? But it's this new, it's not just Caitlin. It's this new crop of women's basketball players. And maybe NIL has helped it, but has anybody, and this is not a knock on the WNBA, but does anybody know if there was any beefs during the WNBA? Like what? No, but you knew at the end of last year, everything that happened, Caitlin Clark doing this to Louisville, Angel Reese doing it. I mean, it was good. It was good. It was good for the sport. Then you had the matchup again of, you know, Caitlin and LSU. It was awesome. All right. Dawn Staley's done a great job. Kim Mulkey, one of the best coaches out there. And I hate saying it because I remember when she was at Baylor, just a curmudgeon to deal with sometimes. But I agree with Vandy Chris. There's women in college right now that are making more in NIL than those women have made in the WNBA. But I think a lot of it is marketing. But just wait. It's here. They have to understand what they have. And if the NBA, WNBA wants to be successful on a different level, this is when they're going to have to take it. You better hire a marketing firm that can market the hell out of it. Because now you got, you know, Cardoso and Angel Reese are on the same team. They both got drafted by the Chicago Sky. So it who knows? I've never been a fan of Diana Taurasi. Just, you know, she always tried to be like she was the tough guy. I don't think she's about, she don't want that smoke. And just wait till Caitlin logo threes her. Well, now, of course, there's always some getting used to a professional level, but stop. So this show, we love football, right? The Jets. Jets. Or as it stands for, just in the season. Come out and release their new New York Jets legacy uniforms. Okay? Is this a yes or a no? Now, if you look at Sauce Gardner there in the middle, you know, more the crisp, you know, green and white, which isn't bad. More of a retro throwback look on that Jets logo. But like I said, it reminds me of the, well, it didn't have that chrome look to it, but the Mark Gastineau, like those era, Dennis Byrd, those guys, you know, when they had the green helmets. They do have a black, you know, option out there. But when I saw this being released, it spurred me on to my Give Him a Sixer, six pick of the day.
Here's the snap. Look, swing play to Payne. He's looking to the 10, cuts outside, 5. Touchdown, Give Him a Sixer, Brian Payne. Peyton Gavris looking for a pass down the far side. Caught, touchdown, Corbin Cleveland. Give Him a Sixer.
Yes, sir. It is time for my Give Him a Sixer six picks. Everybody has a top 10, a top 5. I've got a top 6, guys. In today's top 6, the top 6 NFL home uniforms. I want to see the chat get active in this. Hop in. Let me know if you think I'm crazy. Let me know what you think is your number one. Or did I miss somebody on this list, right? So, again, I'm a big fan of the Washington Commanders. Did they make it? No. Number 6. And it pains me to say it as a Washington fan. But the Dallas Cowboys uniform at home, it's iconic. It's iconic. The star, the white jerseys at home. I know they'll sometimes wear the blue with the white helmets on Thanksgiving and stuff, but I may hate them, but I respect what it stands. I mean, you know, that the quarterback position for the Cowboys is like playing center field for the Yankees. I mean, it's an iconic role. But the uniform, it's just classic. I hate saying it being a Washington fan. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It's like acid in my mouth. But that's my number six top home uniform in the NFL. All right. My next, number five, the pack. The green and gold, man. You got that G, the gold pants, the green jerseys. You know, I love it. To me, again, I'm not a Packers fan. I love this look at home. I think it's a good football look. I've seen a lot of high schools try to duplicate it and try to get a similar vibe. So, again, my number five is the Green Bay Packers for their home uniform. My number four, there's my boy Bake, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I'm not going alternates. So we can talk about the creamsicles. We can talk about these, whatever. But the pewter power, that red jersey. Now, I will say this. I like that they went back to a smaller Buccaneer flag on the side. It's like when Jameis was there, the Buccaneer flag that took up like half the helmet. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that at all. See, we got Ben and Chris put another comment here. I read a day or two ago that Washington football team is being sued by a Native American foundation to force them to change the name back to the Redskins. There is a group out there that is trying to. It was a Native American that created the logo. I tell people all the time, the name Oklahoma, what Oklahoma means is red man. As I don't see how you get into that. But back to my top six. Number four, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like I said, I'm not putting in the alternates or else the creamsicle is probably number one. All right. My number three team. People are going to laugh. I like the Browns home uniforms. It's a lot of nostalgia. I remember growing up watching the drive, watching the fumble. Ernest Biner, Kozar, Webster Slaughter. Those are like the dog biscuits on the field. But like that look, that dark chocolate brown with the... It's a good look. It's a good look to me. I like that home, okay? I like that home look. Let's see. Vandy Chris is going to put in his. He says number five, Green Bay. Not a bad pick. I like Green Bay. Green Bay's in my top five. San Fran. It's a good pick. You know, I thought about them. It's a good pick. Cowboys. I had them in mind. He also, this one I can't get on board. Tennessee Titans, I think it's a horrible uniform. It looks like a World Football League uniform to me. The Saints number, okay, the Saints were close. Man, it was close. I really like the Saints. And he put number six, Kansas City Chiefs. Good googly. My number two, love you blue. The Bolts. I love the throwback to the Kellen Winslow era look. I mean, the powder blue. The bolt on the side of the helmet. It's a great look. It's a great look for home. Now, for my number one, it's just, you have to let the song play. Vandy Chris, if you're listening, I know you know what song or what this clip is. My number one.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten.
The Raiders.
He wears a hooded sash.
Just win, baby.
With a silver hat about
now
his
I'm
head.
I'm not a Raiders fan.
And a bristling black mustache.
But that
he
combo,
growls as he storms the country.
I love it.
A villain big and bold.
He's got the Raider on the side of the helmet.
And the trees
black.
All shake and quiver and quake as he robs
them
of their gold.
John Facenda, the voice
the
of the NFL.
The autumn wind is a Raider.
The autumn
pillaging
wind
just
is
for
a
fun.
Raider.
He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
John Facenda, man. I used to love watching John Facenda stuff. But that's my number one. I have the Raiders as the number one home uniform. You know, you give somebody the blackout visor now, and, I mean, everything involved, the silver, the black, and I'm really, really enjoying it. Uh-oh. Randy's saying my audio was not playing through. Interesting. I played The Autumn Wind as a Raider. That's crazy. I wonder why it's not playing through. Because it was showing up right here. Interesting. Well, we'll have to take a look at that. Thank you for the heads up on that, Vandy Chris. I appreciate it, man. But that's my give him a sixer. Six picks. All right. I'm going to break down. I'm going to have a college one. And I'll say this, gearing more towards more college football stuff. Considering I'm going to be doing a lot of breaking news, then yeah, I'm going to be here and really want to get started to focus on what we got, you know, spring games to talk about. I'm going through the game film of Alabama and Georgia's spring games. Kind of talk about them a little bit. I'll say this from what I've seen earlier. Carson Beck, he looks pretty good. Jam Miller, the running back. Now, I'll say this. When I'm watching for Alabama, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. It, you know, spring games, I remember, you know, somebody pops off in a spring game and you're like, man, this guy's going to be, he's going to be it. And I even did it last year, Justin Haynes at Alabama. I thought he was going to come in and get a chance to play at the beginning, and he didn't. But he had scored 3 touchdowns in the spring game last year. Really didn't do anything this year. But Carson Beck has the goods. Every throw had zip. It was there. Stockton kind of floated a little bit. But I'll get more into that. I'm going to write an article on their spring game. Alabama. And there's a lot of people giving Alabama crap for the way the field looks, saying it's Alabama, that you shouldn't be doing it. Man, come on. Everybody knows spring is when they re-sod it. They're doing it. And, you know, there's more things to bitch about than if the field, spring game. Now, which reminds me, let me ask you this. Did you hear what they did in Oxford? What did Lane Kiffin do? Lane didn't have a spring game. He had the Oxford games. So what was included? He had a dunk contest. He had a flag football game. He had Joey Chestnut there eating hot dogs. It was a festive, and maybe Lane's thinking outside the box. You're keeping people safe. Maybe you're keeping them in. Now you get sponsors to sponsor the different things. So you're incorporating more NIL. I mean, it's a good move by Lane. And from what I've read, what I've seen, and what I've talked to people that are Ole Miss fans that were out there, they said it was a great environment. And maybe that's what's going to bring excitement. And I'll say this also, with that type of the type of festivities they had, because it was not a spring game, but with everything they did, the number of transfers that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss have, is that the team building that's going to help them congeal a little bit more? Now, I just saw Key Lawrence hop back in the portal. Key Lawrence was at Oklahoma. He was a huge liability in the secondary at Oklahoma, which a lot of the people in Oklahoma were a liability in the secondary, okay? Except Billy Bowman, and I'm glad Billy Bowman's back. But Key Lawrence had some issues. He transferred to Ole Miss, and I'm like, you know, I don't get mad at these kids. But I was hoping he'd find success. He's back in the transfer portal. Speaking of portal news as well, Caden Proctor officially back at Bama. He was at the A-Day game. Crazy story there. Come to Bama. Then you go to Iowa. Then you come back. It's just crazy, crazy. So congratulations on your promotion to lead national columnist. Yep. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to it. And to be entrusted with that, it means a lot to me. Okay? It means a lot to me that upper management, ownership, they believe in me enough to put me in that position. Because I really haven't, you know, wrote many things for the company yet. And I'm kind of going through the writer's manual for them, making sure I do everything I can to do the processes correctly. But I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. It'll mean more trips. And you know I love trips. I love trips. And I had the privilege. I took my wife to Savannah. And that is actually, if you look right there at Forsyth Park, that's where the women's marathon ended. My wife ran the half marathon. Now, I'll say this. She ran the marathon, and as soon as she took off running, I went to go have breakfast. So, but you know we had to do food, right? We had to get some food. I got some music playing in the background, Chris. Can you hear it? See if that comes through. But my trip to Savannah, you know I've got to talk about the food, right? If you've not been to Savannah, I'm going to give you some places to go, some things to consider to have, and I'm going to tell you where not to go, right? And I'm going to say this about Savannah. No music playing. That's interesting. Right? I got to keep it on for the regular pod, but if you look here, the trip to Savannah, why I like Savannah, the Spanish moss, the architecture, everything like that. Love it. Very New Orleans-esque, but without the smell of urine and vomit. Beautiful place. The river, you know, River Street is amazing. We got there on a Thursday night, and I was ready. We went to the Crystal Beer Parlor. My wife had that on the left. They call that the Soul Bowl. Had some cheese grits with pulled pork and greens and an chef's kiss. Now, I didn't take a picture of it. And I should have. But we had a pretzel before all this came in. And I'm talking, this pretzel was as big as a damn 18-wheeler steering wheel. With some beer cheese, it was great. I had the burger. It was a black and blue burger. Love blue cheese. Great steak fries. If you're in Savannah, go to Crystal Beer Parlor. Now, I also heard the fish sandwich. If you like flounder, I've heard that the flounder sandwich is an amazing, amazing sandwich. So you need to check that out there. The next morning, we got up and we went to the Funky Brunch Cafe. Wife wanted some French toast. It was good. We had the pineapple mimosas. Got a little buzz going. Wasn't trying to. And my breakfast was something that it kind of struck a nerve for, I say a good nerve for at home. Hash browns, gravy, biscuits, cheese, eggs. Amazing. If you're looking for a good place, they even have at the Funky Brunch Cafe. If you go sit inside, you can actually make pancakes and stuff at your table. Kind of like a hibachi right there so you can make your own breakfast. Great. So we walk around, we do all that. That night, we knew we had to go carb up for her run, which I was happy about because I love Italian. So we went to Bella's Italian Cafe in Savannah. That's what I had right there, the shrimp and scallop. Angel hair pasta, olive oil. Oh, just, it was amazing. She had the baked ziti. Great. I mean, unreal. Then, of course, for dessert, you had to top it off with some fresh cannolis. You know, I had a very Tony Soprano moment when I'm sitting in there trying to figure out if I'm going to get whacked or not. But a great vibe. The only thing I'll say about Bella's that I was surprised, they didn't have a bar. Now, they did have a great wine selection. You could select whatever kind of wine you wanted. I had, a frosty beverage. But it was a great place. Love it, right? Now, that night after the race, we're walking around. If you're a pizza person, whoo! Vinnie Van Gogh's, okay? Vinnie Van Gogh's Pizza. Now, me and my wife, we like food. We usually don't have a problem eating. We ordered the large, first mistake. But now the ham, I was surprised it is a diced ham like that, but the fresh tomatoes, they had fresh garlic on, amazing. If you like that kind of thin crust, New York style, you know, I wouldn't say floppy bin pizza, but really good pizza. Vinnie Van Gogh's Pizza. You walk up, you could buy a slice or you could buy a whole pie. They had the red pepper. Like, took some back. We were watching the first night of WrestleMania in the hotel room, eating leftover pizza. It was good stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you, I mentioned I went to breakfast, right? And I was excited. I love chicken biscuits. Love them. Chick-fil-A all day. Chicken, egg, and cheese. Called the before and after biscuit. I even like McDonald's chicken biscuits. So I'm looking around, where can I go get? And it's a half a mile away, a walk from where the race started. And I'm like, I can do that. I can take a walk through Savannah, get some cool pictures. No big deal. Don't go to Rise, the righteous biscuit and righteous donut place. Now, it maybe I caught him on a bad day. Because we all know that sometimes you have a bad day. But the Rise biscuits and righteous donuts, absolute bomb. Now, I will say this. I like the fact when you go in, you can pick, you want a regular biscuit, you want a cheddar biscuit. And I know baking is chemistry, and one little thing can affect the way the bread, the cake, anything like that. And but I was excited. I saw a lot of good reviews. So I'm gonna go here, get a big, you know, they're talking about their big chicken biscuits. So I'm going, all right. I got the cheddar biscuit. I like pimento cheese. I got a fried egg on it. You know, it's gonna be a little bit messy. I'm here for it. I open it, I go sit outside because it's a beautiful morning, right? Beautiful morning in Savannah. My wife is off running in a half marathon. I'm stuffing my face with a biscuit. I open the wrapper up, and as soon as I pick it up, the biscuit completely falls apart. Falls apart. Furious. But I'm not going to go bitch at, you know, people. You know what? You got a lot of going on. I was very, very disappointed. The chicken wasn't even that good. The egg was good. Whoever did the egg, it was good. Very, very disappointed in what I had right there. Just very disappointed. And I just wasn't real happy with that. But yeah, stay away from that. Vandy Chris, if you visit the Eustis Tavares area in Florida on a regular, if you're ever in the neighborhood, you have to try the trough. As a look on the outside of either I'm going to die in here, this would be the greatest food. And you know what, Vandy? There's a place down here, and you're right. Usually those places that are holes in the wall, that the door, when you see it, it just looks sticky. Like, you don't know if you want to go in there or not. Those are usually the best places to eat. And those are where the locals are. They're not at chains. They want to go to places like that. Seafood joint. Now, I'm going to tell you this, Vandy. I'm a fat guy. I know because I just weighed myself this weekend for my weightlifting competition. Pushing 3 bills. I don't like that. But I can eat my body weight in some seafood. Shrimp, crab, I'm here. Give me, if it's from the water, I will eat it. Fried, blackened, right? It don't matter. I'll eat it. I'll hammer it. Hammer it down. But again, guys, it's kind of a quick one. Trying to start this new schedule on Tuesday. We may switch. I don't know. I'm going to talk to my boss, the production person for podcasts, and kind of see, because we want to kind of get these, you know, the views and the interaction up and get it higher out there. And again, I'm extremely excited, extremely blessed, and extremely happy that Hunter and Colin, the guys at the College Football Dogs, believe in me to go be a national columnist and to handle the breaking news stories. That's a big deal. And again, it's part of my passion. It's what I love doing. I love talking sports. I love talking food. I mean, I could do another whole hour just talking about food, you know, stuff I make at home. It's crazy. Just telling me I need to go to bed soon. But, you know, I appreciate everybody. Everybody on social media, if you send out, you know, there's a lot of people saying congratulations, people that I knew in the past that, you know, knew me when I was in the radio business. And knew that this was my path. Even here, you know, when I was working at Best Buy forever, there's people I worked with at Best Buy that are like, man, you know, I knew even though you were at Best Buy for 5 years, this is what you wanted to be doing. And Colin, Hunter, Tim, George, Max, Troy, AJ, TJ, all those guys are giving me the opportunity. And I thank you. It means a lot. And just get ready, guys. I'm going to tell you, get ready. Hop on board now before it's cool and you're like, oh, I should have. Yeah, hop on board now because the dogs are going up. That's why it's hashtag pause up. We're going to have people. We've got national columnists that will be traveling across the country going to games. We're doing our due diligence to get credentialed at some of the, you know, communications with SIDs all across the country. We're going to be going to games. Games are the biggest games in the country. College football dogs will be there. I'll be covering mainly the SEC on weekends and stuff, which, of course, I'm happy about. Oklahoma's coming to the SEC. It'll be fine. But I digress. It's just pay attention. It's coming. Dogs are coming. You know, that old, if you can't remember the big dogs, don't get off the porch. Well, big dogs are here, and we're looking forward to it. So, everybody, thank you for joining in. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for listening. I appreciate every one of you that want to sit around and listen to me talk about sports and talk about food and talk about the dumb stuff that I talk about. But it's a passion of mine, and if I can bring some information, if I can bring some entertainment, anything like that, I'm extremely grateful and I'm extremely happy to do. But I thank all of you that took your time to watch. For all of you that are listening on a podcast, I want to say thank you. If you're watching on the YouTube Live right now, thank you. I appreciate you hopping in. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm really going to enjoy this ride, and we're really going to build the show. I'm going to get some guests, and we're going to start talking a lot of college football, a lot of college football. It's going to be the focus, and if you know people and you want to say, hey, you want your college football news, this is where you come, to the college football dogs. And I'm just saying, guys, get ready. Here it comes. But that's going to do it for me tonight, guys. I want to say thank you. Take care of yourself. Be good to each other. It's a crazy world out there. I mean, it's crazy. And so that's why little moments like this, when we can talk about sports, we can talk about food, talk about memories, disagree, agree, whatever, that's what really matters. So remember to always positively move forward, guys. Come cook with Chris, and remember, hashtag pause up, baby.
Thanks for joining us on this delicious journey through the world of sports and food on Sports Bites. With your host, Chris Joseph. We hope you've enjoyed the game day stories and culinary adventures. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And if you've got any mouth-watering sports-related tales or favorite game day recipes, share them with us on social media. Until next time, remember, it's not just about the game. It's about the bites that make it unforgettable. Stay hungry for more Sports Bites.